Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Caitlin Patterson, Midwest Muscle, P4P Real Talk. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid fountain, a foundation to stand on, hey, I'm going to go with it, and a vehicle to drive your goals, like what, Des?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream.
And fountain water with a foundation. Check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now let's talk. I'm Caitlin Patterson, and this is Des. How you doing, Des?
It is. I am great. You know, we are a little over 2.5 weeks out from the Natural Southern States Classic, so getting ramped up for that. Excited about that show. Sounds like they're going to have a good turnout. So first show for me for the season, so we'll see how it goes. How about you, Caitlin?
I'm doing fine, Des, and everything's going well. I'm going to turn it over to you and I'm going to get a little situated so I'm not breaking up or anything.
Okay, sounds good. So while Caitlin is doing what he needs to do on his end of the world, because as you all know, we're all dialing in remotely, and he's in Illinois and I'm in Iowa, I have a question, a thought to ponder that I want to get out there to you guys. It's actually a question that was submitted to us by one of our listeners when we had Head Judge Medina Roberts on our show, and it's one of the many questions that we've been trying to get to get answered for you guys, and we haven't yet. So I'm going to go ahead and throw this one out there, and we're going to go ahead and start the process. So take a listen, think about it, send us your thoughts, and then we will touch base on our next show about what you guys came back with. But basically the question was this. Once you earn your pro card, does your win stay with you through the life, through your competitive career, or is it something that you have to continue to, earn or maintain, is how the question is coming across. And the answer that Medina shared with us, and I find this to be true just based on my own personal experience, is that depending on the organization, she really recommends that you guys read the guidelines posted on their individual websites. Once you become a pro athlete, the first thing that you're going to have to do, regardless of the organization, is apply for your pro membership card. Now, the differences come as to how quickly you need to do that. Some organizations, you have to apply and compete within your first year of becoming a pro to maintain your pro status. Other organizations, they give you a little bit more of a leeway. You may have up to 2 to 3 years to compete, but once you do apply for your pro status, whatever the frequency is that they require, that's how often you'll need to continue to compete. So if it's an organization that wants you to do it right away and you have to renew your pro status annually, that means you'll have to compete at least once annually in order to maintain your pro status. After that, you know, there are organizations that give you a little bit longer to compete. So even if they give you 2 to 3 years before you step on your first pro stage, after that, it's usually an annual re-up. So annually, you have to renew your pro membership card or status, and then you have to compete at least once within that year in order to maintain. Now, it changes. And I can't quote which organization has which requirement. So if you happen to be a pro in a certain organization, or you just turned pro in a certain organization, or you're hoping to turn pro in a given organization, as Medina had suggested, do check out their website and find out what their criteria is, because I would hate for you to earn a pro status and to lose it just because of lack of knowledge versus, you know, you just couldn't compete in that given year, which raises another question is, do you think you should have to re-up your pro status if you're not able to compete per the guidelines? Meaning, once you're a pro, always a pro, or for some reason you can't compete every year because it could be health reasons, financially, whatever, you know, should you still be allowed to keep your pro status, or are you okay with having to go through the process to earn it again? That's a big question, not one we're going to tackle tonight, but think about it. Send us your thoughts. Kaylin, are you ready? Are you with us? And I'm not sure what happened to Kaylin. JoJo, are you still there?
I am here.
All right. Well, we are still winning then because we have our guest with us. And when Kaylin gets the chance, I'm sure he'll jump back on. But we have again with us this week Dr. JoJo Sason. He was with us last week, and it was an awesome show. Got an education a lot on relationships, which I was not expecting, but still very good stuff. And he does conduct seminars on that, which we are working on our back end to see if we can't get him in a place where you guys can come and listen to him. So as we continue to try and get that worked out, we will definitely share more details with you. But tonight, we are going to be talking more about the physical therapy side of things, where Dr. JoJo excels as well in the many areas that he excels. I have to say, Dr. Joe, that, or Sason, I should call you, in our last interview, when you kept saying, oh, I do this, and I dance, and I do this, and I do that, and I'm like, what doesn't this man do? I mean, really, is there anything that you don't do?
Well, I don't do windows, for sure, and I don't cook very well. I can cook. It's not appetizing, but it's nutritious.
Yeah, it'll keep you alive in a pinch, huh?
Yes, well, I'm not sure if most of our readers know that I also do motivational speaking. So
yeah.
Motivational speaking is more about what are the ingredients that you need to know or need to do to live life, because you've only got one shot at it. One shot. That's why one life, one shot.
Yes,
so,
and that is
yeah,
so
know,
true.
Yeah, it
all
seems
right.
Like everybody in the bodybuilding world out there, I know they use the bodybuilding as some form of a stress reliever as well. So I can guide people on pretty much anything. Desiree, you may want to kind of do a quick replay maybe of for those who were not here last interview, so they have an idea what I'm going to do maybe.
Well, I do have an idea of what you're going to do, but I would like a replay of, just a brief intro of yourself for any new listeners that we have. So they're already aware that you are a physical therapist, that you are a motivational speaker, but just share with us briefly a few highlights of the other things that you do, such as your ties to NASA, your foundation, and then after that, we'll be ready with our first question for the night.
Okay, well, let me greet everybody first. A blessed and holy week for everybody on the Judeo-Christian world. And my name is JoJo Sison. Everybody fondly calls me JoJo for short, because this is a very friendly name. I don't mind being called JoJo. That's what everybody calls me. I'm a physical therapist by trade. I am a doctor of manual therapy. I hail from the Philippines and living in Illinois, just 60 miles south of Chicago. On a part-time basis, I'm also a scientist for the International Space Station, so I work for the NASA Human Research Program through the University of California, San Diego, on the spine conditions of astronauts before and after space flight. So we're helping develop some countermeasures for future generation spaceflight, especially when we as a human, as a humanity, would fly to Mars to start some form of pre-colonization of the planet for the next millennia. Aside from that, I do operate a small foundation based in Illinois for children. It's inspiring people to become like angels on earth to guide children and nurture them. And aside from that, I also have a magazine for women, for those who would like to be empowered by women writers as well. It's called Angel Rising Magazine, www.angelrisingmag.com. Those are just a few highlights, just for short introduction. And from then on, I think I'd give the floor to you again, Des.
No,
all right, sounds good.
Let me jump in
okay,
there,
yep.
JoJo. Yeah.
because, you know, a lot of the things that we wanted to cover last week were missed because people were getting they really wanted to know your background, and so we didn't get on the physical therapy part because, you know, I'm very surprised that so many of our natural bodybuilding community, well, not really surprised. I had to do some research, and what I'm finding is that many natural athletes are learning from the enhanced community, but they can't do the recovery that the enhanced community has, and so injuries happen, and they're happening basically because they're trying to keep up with their trainers. So when you talk about the physical therapy part of it, Lewis has been interested in how he can get in, how he can deal with the recovery issue without being in the enhanced realm.
Okay, so if I can make that clear, you would like to know the recovery strategies. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes,
that
sir.
You would like to know of injuries?
Yes, because he's been injured twice. I think okay, rotator cuff injury, and then something dealing with his elbow, and he's just basically finding out that, you know, his coach or trainer or whatever you want to call him is of the enhanced reality, and he just can't keep up with his regimen because his recovery time is different.
Okay, so in short, this is it a gentleman that we're talking about who's having this
yes.
question with an injury?
Lewis.
So in short,
it's
he's frustrated. Is he frustrated that he's not getting any better?
Well, he's not seeing the gains that his coach is basically showing.
Okay, good. Okay, so let me start off from that. I think let's start first with the general idea of exercise. Of course, everybody knows exercise will enhance you by promoting fitness and creating a body structure that you desire. But most people don't really have this this failure of not defining exactly what they want. When I say that, people go into the gym just exercising, thinking that they'll just become whatever they think they become by just exercising. But it's too vague. Exercise is a very specific science. So to begin the quick and strategic way of thinking about this, the human body was designed to accept a biomechanical energy, a stress, a physical stress, to stimulate the cells. I'm talking about cells from muscles to bones to brain cells. You stress it so that it will produce protein synthesis. It will synthesize new proteins. But in the bodybuilding world, we have to define, do you want power, like a power lifter, strength, or do you want more volume and mass, or do you want endurance? Because sometimes a supposedly bodybuilder will approach me in the gym and ask me how they could be defined and big. But when I look at their training as a power lifter. So let's talk about the objective first, and before we start going to the injury. I'm sure all of you have seen the Strongest Men competition where they're carrying the fridge and pulling the train
like
that, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's familiar with that, the big Scandinavian guys. Now, what's the difference between the body structure of those guys versus those who are doing the marathon? What's the big difference? Well, their size, right?
Yes.
The power lifter is big, strong, and fat. Okay, and I'm going to be politically incorrect here. I'm going to use the word fat because it's what it is. You know, I'm not here to please people and be careful about what people's feelings are. Get over it. Fat is fat, and muscle is muscle. Okay. All right. I mean, if you want to make it clear, otherwise I'm not going to be able to make my point across if we're going to start reading what I mean by certain words. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So the power lifters are big, strong, and fat, period. The endurance athletes are ripped. They're smaller muscles, but they're enduring. The difference there is the training. The number one is training. The power lifters train with the heaviest weight with the least number of repetitions, 1 to 4, something like that. That's why the competitions are just one repetition, not many. Now, the body will respond to the stress that it will you will give it. So if you train like a power lifter, you will look like a power lifter.
Okay.
If you train, and then when you look to the other side of the spectrum, the other person is ripped, muscular, but small volume, but it can go on and on and on, just like the Energizer Bunny. Well, those people trained with high repetitions and low and high volumes of exercise, but low poundage. So the body, in regard to the different isoforms or muscle types, will respond accordingly. So even how the muscle cells respond, there are two major types of skeletal muscles. In simple terms, it's called the white muscles and the red muscles. As much as when we call the turkey meat, though, you want the red meat or the white meat, right? You've heard that before. The white muscle is a very specific isoform. It can contract explosively, very strong, but it doesn't last long. So that's also called the anaerobic muscles. Versus, so that's a specific response. So the chemical reactions on those muscles are very specific to producing a very strong very short burst energy, and then it's fatigue, or it uses a different energy system, carbohydrates, very quick, and carbohydrates and fat. Now, on the other spectrum, when you're working out a muscle with the red muscle type exercise, that means it's aerobic. It has air. It has oxygen. So the muscles will respond by changing its biochemistry to oxidizing, using oxygen as its primary currency of energy. That's why it's called aerobic. There's a time unit but not strong, but it's continuous. Okay, so just to make a big difference, the bodybuilders are somewhere in the middle. Okay, a little bit above the middle. So they have strength, they have volume, but they're not as strong as the power lifters. That's why in the Strongest Man competition, you will not see a bodybuilder win. The bodybuilders are considered the pretty boys. Okay, they got bigger muscles, more capillaries, but they cannot produce the amount of power that the powerlifting muscles would do because of the difference in training, right? And I know, Kaylin, you've gone through those phases because before you were training like a powerlifter. Am I right?
Yes, sir. You're right.
Because you were my patient. I know your body structure. When you start becoming competitive, I know you've talked to me about those. One thing you did change, you changed the way you worked out. It's more volumes of exercise, and you changed your food intake. It changed your muscle isoform. You became a bodybuilder. Okay?
Yes, sir.
So that's my point is we have to define first what do we really want to be, because all of those are fit. But you have to define what are the specific muscle type you want, so that your exercise will be accordingly. If you're working up like a powerlifter and expecting to be a pretty boy bodybuilder, it's not going to work, and vice versa. So number one, let's define that. Number two, injuries. When it comes to injuries, it's considered an overload. You start tearing. The mechanical energy that you give a muscle and to the bone is greater than the body's capacity to heal. Remember, when we're working out, we're not really building muscles when we're working out. We're tearing it down, because it's only when you're resting with nutrition that you're starting to rebuild it. Now, when people are working out so hard that the amount of tearing is too much, greater than the ability of the body to recover and do protein synthesis, you end up having a weak structure the following day or the following workout, and then you subject that to heavy stresses again, and it tears. The body's way of telling you something's wrong is that it's gonna talk to you. It's gonna be painful, and it's painful when you're exercising, not the 2 or 3 days delayed onset muscle soreness. That's a different ballgame. So to identify muscle soreness on the muscle bellies, okay, on the big muscle bellies, is fine within the first 2-3 days after working out. That's normal for heavy workouts. But if your pain is into the joint or the tendons attached, then you're looking at some micro tearing. Most of the time, people kind of ignore it by taking some ibuprofen or painkillers or hot compresses. You cannot ignore it. you have to work around. Mm-hmm. It means that your body's asking you to heal. And how does the body heal? Most people think healing is just resting. Well, there's some truth to that, but when it comes to the musculoskeletal system, it needs protein synthesis. That means it needs a biomechanical energy. So this the most simplest thing to do is keep on working out, but you modify the exercise where it does not cause the symptoms. All right, do you have a question, Kaylin? You can interrupt me anytime. So I can
I think he was getting. I'm not quite sure if we've answered Lewis's question yet, but you've definitely laid a good foundation of it.
So we're going to go to the injury now. So I want to make sure, because most people, when they have injury, because they have not defined what they want and they're working out the wrong type of exercise causing the injury.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. So that's what I was getting into. So you have to define. Most people's fault is they have not defined what they really want. What's the mission? And then they don't know the mission, they're working at in any which way, and they overload. Then now they start tearing things. Now we're going to recover. Now how are we going to assess that? Well, you have to define first whether this is an injury or not. Okay, so simple. So what is there are different injuries. We can classify that as a minor and a major injury. A minor injury is something that you can just recover and bounce back on your own. So minor injury is something that you hurt, but you can work it out. It keeps on getting better each time. Simple. You're working out, it keeps on getting better. I'm sure you've experienced that. It hurts sometimes, but you kept on working out, it kept on getting better. So that's a minor injury. That means the tearing is minimal, and it's the body is able to recover. When it's major, then it's unable to recover. So it's always, the symptoms are maintained. It's maintained or getting worse. That's the time that you need professional help. So you define first, is it an injury or not? I mean, a minor or a major injury. So number two, you have to put the pride aside. If one exercise caused it, you need to either modify the exercise or create a different exercise stimulating the same muscle. For example, let's say you tore something or you have an injury with the bench press. So you want to modify to work with the injury, you have to modify the exercise by lightening the load, because to produce protein synthesis, you need blood flow. And it can only happen with a lower weight and high repetitions. So for a bench press, for example, I may still do the bench press, but instead of doing the full, I may just do a partial. I'll find a range where it does not cause the symptoms. And you have to be honest with that. So you still can do the bench, but only to the range where it does not cause the symptoms. And you just stay there. That's where your workout is, with a lighter load, higher repetitions. When I say higher, it's going to be in the range of the 15 repetitions and up, in good form, without pain. So that's a good start-up thing before you get into professional help. All right? So if not, then you may want to try, let's say, a partial dumbbell fly or a partial dumbbell press and a supine press. So there are many ways you can do. You can work a muscle with a different technique. So you have to identify that. The bottom line is, you're still moving the muscle without symptoms, without pain, and then keep on doing that until you feel like it's able to handle greater stresses. So that's number one. So that's big number one thing about a general rehab on it. If it's not getting any better, then there are other problems. And the major problem is that we're thinking just doing the exercise, which is the simplistic way of thinking about an exercise. But the reality is, before a muscle can function, the joint or joints that it's supposed to move must move correctly. It must have what you call physiological range. If the joint is stuck, the muscle is going to work so hard. So sometimes you may need some professional help. to figure out if there really is a joint problem. And not all physical therapy was made to be the same. Okay, there are very specialized groups. What I do is orthopedic manual therapy. You want to make sure that your physical therapist knows how to assess joint movement. It means it's an arthrokinematic, that's called arthrokinematic joint movement. And make sure that the therapist can assess the normal and the abnormal movements and then design an exercise program based on that. So look at that. And also positioning. Each joint is dependent on the next, for example.
Yeah.
If,
oh, my goodness.
If you do, right, it's all dependent. You cannot, you can do isolation, but on a controlled environment. Let's say you're doing a dumbbell lateral raise, a simple lateral raise with dumbbells to the side. If you do a weight doing that and you try to slouch, it changes the mechanics of the shoulder blades, which supports the whole upper extremity. So it actually makes it a weaker position. So if you try doing, you can even try that, doing dumbbell lateral raise with a slightly slouched position versus if you straighten up, put your shoulder blades together, you have what you call a greater mechanical advantage. You'll be surprised how stronger you are. So there are. That's just one example out of several. So you may want to look into the general positioning of your joints. Make sure the best and simplest way to think about it is make sure you're in the most upright position possible if you're going to do a weight-bearing exercise like that. So that's the major thing in the, about movement, okay? Make sure there is restitution. You don't need to do so many exercises. It has mm-hmm. to have enough restitution between the sets, and how do you know? To rehab an injury, you need oxygen, right? We talked about that. So it needs oxygen. It needs to be an aerobic type of exercise. So aerobic means mm-hmm. lesser weight, high repetitions. That's aerobic. If you try to do a powerlifting move, powerlifting does not require oxygen. And if you have an injury, your joints are asking for oxygen. If you keep on exercising too heavy, it's going to tear some more. You're going to be in trouble.
Ooh, yeah.
So, okay. So you want to make sure it's all basically high repetition exercises. And when you rest, how do you know how long to rest? Well, to rest, your guidepost there would be your breathing. If your body is going into anaerobic exercises, you will start panting. Your breathing rate is going to be heavy. As much as, let's say, you're standing on the sidewalk and then you see the bus and then you have to run quickly to get to the bus. What do? You do a sprint, right? When you mm-hmm. do a sprint, that's using anaerobic muscles because it's an explosive thing, right? And you can do this quickly. You can get to the bus. And when you use anaerobic metabolism, there is called what you call an oxygen debt. You have to repay that energy by getting more oxygen in your system. So what happens after you do a quick burst? You start panting to catch your breath suddenly, right? But when you're running, you're not doing that, correct? It's because now your body has to pay for that oxygen debt. Instead of you have a debt of money, you have an oxygen debt. So the same thing for exercising for rehab or fixing an injury. If you're starting to exercise and you're starting to pant, and do heavy breathing, you're going into anaerobic metabolism, so you might be doing some damage. So if you're doing a rehab exercise, you have to wait until, well, your breathing is going to go up a little higher. You have to wait just a tad until it normalizes again, until it becomes, you're not panting again. So that's your guidepost, usually within the two-minute range. So one is that restitution means between the sets and also between the workouts. When you're doing high repetitions, it doesn't require much, too long of a rest. A day rest is sufficient. So you can actually work out today and work out the same muscle group tomorrow because it doesn't take much. If you're doing anaerobic powerlifting, if you're doing heavy, I'm sure that you try it like Caitlin, if you're doing heavy squats, it takes about 2 or 3 days before you can start doing it again because it needs more, it's an anaerobic, it requires more restitution, more tearing. But for mm-hmm. aerobic, it doesn't require that. So the time between the workouts is going to be smaller. So those are just basic principles if the problems are what you call minor. That's why major, you need professional help. And aside mm-hmm. from that, nutrition. You remember, you are building proteins or doing protein synthesis, so you need to make sure you have sufficient amounts of micronutrients, macronutrients, and protein. So generally, that's the general idea of how to rehab yourself with minor injuries.
Yeah. And I would say, too, folks, I hope you guys have been taking good notes, because he has just laid out, I don't, just so much that you would be paying high dollar for anywhere else to have
that same thing explained to you. It's going
to
be high dollar, but I love you guys, you know, I love those people with passion. The people that are listening tonight will not be listening if they are not passionate. I cannot waste my time with people who are not passionate, because it's not going anywhere. People must ask me, and I will give it to you. Kaylin is passionate. That's why I stuck up with this guy, and I know he's got passion. And so we fed on each other's passions. Thank you, Kaylin.
Thank you, Jojo.
Oh, he's definitely got that. He's definitely got that. So, and Louis, I would just add on, of all the things that have been shared here tonight, I hope that you have been having communication with your coach and not just suffering silently and not sharing with what's been going on with you. Because that's not fair to your coach, because he doesn't have a chance to adjust your training program if you just keep getting injured and he's not aware of it. Or if he is aware of your injuries, then that should also be a red flag. Maybe it's time you need a new coach. You shouldn't keep going back to someone who continues to let you hurt yourself without any relief.
Good point.
So just just a couple of things for you to continue to think about as well. And I'm actually going to move us along, although I could sit here and listen to JoJo for hours, but we have some questions piling up here. So I'm going to get to these, and they're going to take us a little bit off track of the whole physical therapy theme we were going to try and stick with, but they're good questions nonetheless, so I want to go ahead and get them in. Before we get too far away from the powerlifting theme that we were kind of talking about, Stan wants to know if his time powerlifting will keep him from a bodybuilding physique because of the years he spent powerlifting. I feel like you've kind of touched on that, but if we could just briefly clarify for him if, you know, being a powerlifter in the past is going to prevent him from being a bodybuilder in the future. Thoughts on that?
Oh, okay. Well, it's not going to prevent you. What's the name? Is it Stan? Stan?
Stan.
What's the name of the guy?
Stan.
Stan, okay. Hi, Stan. This is JoJo Sison. Yeah, I know you're listening. And let me tell you that there is no limit what the body can do. All you need to do is change the mechanical energy that you give it. That's why I told you earlier that the body will respond to a very specific input of mechanical energy. If you still keep on working out like a power lifter, expecting to be a bodybuilder, it's not going to happen, period. So, if you were a power lifter in the past, you can easily become a bodybuilder by changing the routine of, and when I say routine, it's not the types of exercise, it's the magnitude, how many repetitions and how much poundage are you using. If you want to become a bodybuilder, it's going to be under the power lifting. That means you're not doing maximum weight for one or two reps. That's power lifting. You want to do your weights where you can do in the range of the 15 repetitions, maybe around 10 to 15 and up, that range. When I say 10 to 15, that's repetitions in good form where you fatigue. And that 10 to 15 repetition is different with regard to the body's ability. Schwarzenegger's lateral raises may be 50 pounds at 25 reps. I've read his books. But the next person is 15 reps at only 15 pounds. It's the same magnitude, but it's just a different person. So stick with what you can do with those repetitions, because usually we define our exercise by how much weight the next person lifts. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's how many repetitions of the designated amount of repetitions you can do in good form based on what your body can give you without injury. Okay, so it will not prevent you. All you need to do is change the magnitude and the types of workout, number one. Number two, there is also a genetic predisposition. The genetic predisposition dictates that some people are born with a propensity or tendency for very specific muscle isoforms. That means some people are just born to be runners. They can be bodybuilders, but they're not as good. But if they try running, they really excel because they have greater proportions of that specific muscle isoform. Some human beings have a propensity for white muscles. They try to be runners, but it just doesn't fit because they keep on losing. They are a last place all the time. But when they try powerlifting, they keep on developing so rapidly. So you need to identify genetic factors. What are you? What does your body respond better? But that's only the genetic factor. But the reality of science is that you can actually start changing the percentages if you stick diligently and regularly to the specific magnitude of exercise you want, defining what kind of body structure you want. So if you want to be a bodybuilder, then maintain your volumes and exercise and resistance on that around the 10 to the 15 range. That's where the bodybuilders are. You need capillarization. It responds there. So to finalize the answer on your question, your past training will not, or body structure will not affect the future different body structure if you change the magnitude of exercises.
Okay, very All good. Right. So, Stan, I hope that was helpful to you. Ladies, listen up, because I know this one you're all wondering. You're all wondering, and I'm in the same boat with you. So, Samantha, thank you for asking. JoJo, Samantha doesn't want to lose her booty and wants to know how to develop muscle to fill in the space of fat loss. So, Samantha, I'm assuming you're in contest prep. You're leaning out. You don't want to lose those glutes you've been working to round out. How do you keep that full look even though you're losing weight, losing fat?
Well, this is a very sensitive subject for women because they want that roundness, okay, of the glutes. Well, the glutes is notorious for storing fat because it was meant to be a cushion as well. It depends on what.
Kaylin, just stop.
It's true for men and women. I know it's kind of funny. That's why I told you I'm not going to be politically correct here. But it was meant to be a cushion because without that, you will keep on hurting your tailbone. That's why there's a condition called coccygodynia. When somebody loses fat drastically and there's no more padding to the bottom, they sit and they actually bend or fracture sometimes that cartilage in the tip of the tailbone. So the glutes are meant to carry some fat. Okay, so let's define. What competition are you getting into? Is it bodybuilding or is it more bikini? Okay, there are different kinds, right? In a bikini, well, you don't have to have the ripped butt because we have to look at part genetics, of course, that some women and men have greater tendency to develop muscular glutes than others. You know? And the only thing that will cover it is actually fat. But if you want the roundness of it, then you don't have to worry about, well, around this wearing pants doesn't matter because you won't see. But look into the mirror, okay? Fat is held onto your subcutaneous tissues by these collagen that kind of holds in place, but it's uneven. That's why if there's too much fat in under the skin, you have the puckering. You know, you have those how do you call that? The cottage cheese, right?
Oh, you like
because
yeah.
Because the skin are tethered by collagen down to the subcutaneous tissues, and some of the fat are poking out. So you have these kind of this puckered effect. Well, that's typical, but it's also genetic. The predisposition for that. So generally, you cannot lose body fat there and not anywhere else because people think you can do a spot reduction and it's not going to work. No, it's an illusion. It's almost like telling you, can you just lose the fat on your left triceps and not on your right? You know, you won't be able to do it. Or just on your abs and nowhere else. No, it has to be generalized. So if you want to reduce, I would say keep on, if you want to reduce the body fat, then you have to burn the body fat, right, the excess body fat. And there are two ways to do that. First, you have to train with a magnitude to burn it. I'll tell you a common mistake of most people. They do the running or the aerobics first before they do the workouts. Okay, that's actually a red flag. Now, in the biochemistry of how body burns fat, the body will utilize its own carbohydrate stores first before it's called glycogen. It's the carbohydrates in the muscle. And that's why after you exhaust the muscle, after you eat a good amount of carbohydrates, the carbohydrates become glycogen and get stored in the muscle. That's why after a nice carbohydrate meal, the following day you look good. You look full because you have glycogen. So when you work out a muscle or the whole body, it will utilize all the glycogen first. It cannot grow fat first. And how long does it last? Within 20 minutes. That is why the saying that if you want to burn fat, you have to work out aerobics at least 20 minutes or more, right? You've heard that before. It's because that's the threshold of time when the body will start burning fat. But the problem is that we start going to the gym and going to do all-out aerobics first, and let's say an hour on the bike or whatever, or treadmill before working out. Well, fine, you start burning fat, but you also make your muscles inefficient because it does not have enough glycogen to contract. So if you want to burn the butt fat and maintain muscles, you need to stimulate the muscles first by doing the exercises with the weights or machines first, where your muscles can use the glycogen. So you want a very efficient contraction of the muscles to stimulate it to produce protein synthesis. Okay? After you've done that, then you can switch into burning the fat. So after you do all the muscle exercise with the weights, after you've done all of it, then you top it off with your aerobic type of exercise. Now you can do your aerobic class. Now you can do your treadmill. You can run. Do that second. So I would say do that and keep on looking in the mirror to see if you're gaining what you desire. If it's enough, it's enough. So you decide how much, because I haven't seen your butt yet, so I don't know. There's different genetics, okay? And yes, I've seen thousands of butts already, and I'm not bashful about that. Just because I look at it in aesthetics and science, but it's kind of funny in a way to say, I haven't seen your butt yet, but that's the reality. We have to look at it first. And define what you want in relation to the whole totality of your body fat. So I hope that kind of answers your question, on at least on the training side. And for the fat, of course, less carbohydrates with your meals, more proteins. Okay, Des, what was it?
So, well, I think for I'm losing it here. Was it Samantha? I am sorry. That question has flown past me now, and I forgot the name. Yeah, but I think for Samantha and then another person, another caller, listener, Bill, I think the answer to their question basically is you need to focus on the strength training aspect of it first to get the muscles fuller, and then following that is when you do your cardio, which will then in turn burn the fat. So if you're leaning down and you want to keep the muscle, you have to work that first. Don't focus so much on the cardio aspect of it. If I've misspoken on that, JoJo, please correct me,
I'm thinking that answers your question. Yeah. What I say is the order of how you work out.
Yes.
Work out the muscle with the weights first. Use up all the glycogen with the workout with the weights or machines before you do your aerobic type of exercise with your repetitions and repetition with your running or aerobics. Do that less. So there's an order of contraction. Most people kind of flip-flop that. They start doing their treadmill first before they start working out, especially for the women.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do the aerobic part, the treadmill last. If you really want to preserve your muscles in your butt, you want to make sure you work out that butt with exercise, with resistive exercises first before your aerobic exercises.
Yep. And I know that sounds counterintuitive because your legs are tired, your glutes are tired. That's the last thing you're thinking of is, you know, another 20 minutes of HIIT or whatever your cardio of preference is. But, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and I've heard that before from another coach, so I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I'm switching gears. I have a motivational question here, and we know that you excel in that area. So Carl has an interest in getting to lose weight, but his time schedule is hard for him to do it. How many times have we heard that? I don't have time. I don't have time.
I hear that
how
all
can
the time,
he become,
yeah.
Yes. How can he become motivated to get over that hurdle?
Well, this is what you call in psychology leverage. That means, what's the name of the caller?
Carl.
What's his name?
Carl.
Carl, okay.
Carl.
Carl, okay. I'm talking to you, Carl. Listen up, bud. I hear this all the time. The problem is that people don't have time. It's because you don't make time. You don't have enough of the passion. You don't have enough of the need to really make a change. You become comfortable. And I'm talking to you as it is because it's not just you. It's many, many other people out there. How many times have you seen or heard people say, I want to do this and that, but I don't have time? You hear it all the time. Well, when people ask me, Jojo, you do so many things. How do you do it? Well, I make time. You create your time. So let's start out with motivation. How does one get motivated to do something drastic? Okay. Well, there are two types of motivators. And Carl, I want to find out, I'm not sure what you are on these two types. It's two general types of motivators. Some motivators are, well, people respond to motivation by a goal, a price. Okay. And some people the prices are called the positive motivators. The other set of motivators are called negative motivators. That means they are motivated by a catastrophe. Okay, how many times have we seen students that they don't study, they don't do their homework until the last night, and they cram everything because they realize they're going to fail, right? Okay, and some students do it well because before the start of the game, they can see the price, they want to get there ahead. So you have to define first. If Carl, if you are a positive motivator, then you should be able to visually see the better you and then realize that I want that and you're going to go for it. Or if you are a negative motivator, then you look back. You look how horrible you're going to look like if you pack another 100 pounds. Just imagine the depression you might end up. The heart problems and whatever, you can envision all sorts of scenarios. So that's the one thing, is what will motivate somebody. Identify first if you are a positive motivator or not. The negative motivator is the one who wakes up in the morning and then puts the snooze button on, and then it rings again, the alarm clock will ring again, put the snooze button again because, oh, I got time, until there's no more time, and then what pops out in their head? The face of their boss saying, you're fired. Then what do? You get up and do as quickly as you can. You fix yourself up. That's a negative motivator. You're waiting for a catastrophe. So, Carl, look into what you are. Are you a negative or a positive motivator? If you can identify that, then think of the worst-case scenario that can happen to you in 1 year if you did not make the time. Or what will happen to you in your physical appearance, your confidence level, and just in 1 year if you start doing this today. So those are the major things. And then you just quit making excuses. Because if you don't make time, it's just telling me that you're just so darn comfortable, like no need. Well, what for? You have no reason.
Yep.
So
yep.
You need a solid reason why you want to change what you look like or how you feel. You need to find that. I cannot give you that reason. I'm giving you a tool. Search for a reason, either positive, what can you get out of it? Really list it down if you wish to. And that's why some people are positive motivators. Like I was a positive motivator in bodybuilding. I had pictures of Schwarzenegger and the bodybuilders on my fridge. You know, I put them in frames. I look at it every morning. It's like, wow, that's what I want to be. Now, if you're a negative motivator, then get pictures of the worst physiques and the diseases. Plaster them all over your house. And then you ask yourself, you want that? So this is what you need to do. Figure out what you are and do the appropriate motivational stimulus or stimuli. then you ask yourself in the mirror, okay, what do I want in life? What's my reason? Is it for me or for my family or for anything else? You do that. Like a Kalin, he had a vision. He was a positive motivator. He was seeing what was better for him. He did not want what was happening to him with his injury. Kalin, am I right? You were seeing yourself on top of the pedestal with trophies, right? Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Kalin.
Yes.
Okay, and it pulled you there. You were a positive motivator. So that's I hope that kind of answers you. But there are actually many techniques to do that. I can teach that, but it'll take me a good 2-3 hours to do that in a good crowd where everybody's able to participate in an interactive way of understanding motivation and controlling emotions. So that can be a more detailed seminar that we can brainstorm later on.
I think
okay, so that's
Taylor, the answer. I think we have some subliminal messaging here about another workshop, relationship and motivational. But I like how he just floats it out there, like it's all of a sudden it's our idea. No, it was really kind of his idea. I'm on to you. Okay, yeah. Last question for the show tonight. And I think our discussion about time is actually a good segue for the answer to this question, but Sarah wants fuller muscles, but she wants them without steroids. Is it possible for her to get what she wants, the way she wants it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, everything is when we go to the motivation, your mind will help build your body based on the image that your mind believes into. There's a lot of imagery involved. I'll quote Schwarzenegger in Pumping Iron. He said that when he was curling to get those magnificent peak biceps, it's like a bicep on a bicep, what he would envision is that his bicep is pumping every time and filling up the whole room. There's a lot of visual imagery. So if you're wanting your thighs to be full, whenever you're working out, and you're doing more bodybuilding because you need volume, so you're doing more of the fairly higher repetition, but not too little, not too high, in the middle of 10, 15 repetitions, many sets, and every single rep. And you're just kind of envisioning and visualizing those thighs to be exploding and growing. And get cutouts in magazines of women with the best thighs you want. Blow them up, print it, put it where you can see that every day. Maybe in front of your bathroom mirror, maybe in front of your fridge, maybe in your locker room, because the brain's so magnificent on how it can help develop. Without the visual imagery, you cannot develop your physique. And I'll give you an example. When I was a young boy, my visuals were superheroes. I read comic books after comic books after comic books, and I was thinking more symmetry, and it guided me to doing my workouts that way. Those are subliminal messages so that your subconscious will help you. The subconscious is so powerful. It's unbelievable. That's why you don't need to know how much acid is needed in your stomach. Your subconscious will figure it out for you based on the need, little things like that. So is it for, can you do that with steroids? Of course. You know, when you take steroids, it'll affect the whole system, the whole body. And there's just much more negative physiological effects. You may not want it. It's so temporary. So, yes, you can build it. Imagery and then the right workouts, the right magnitudes, the right rest, the right restitution, and the right amount of nutrition. Yes, and imagery is the most crucial part. Cutouts, pictures. Plaster them everywhere.
Gotcha. Kalin, I know you have some thoughts on that area also.
Yeah, I really do, because like I said, I'm so against steroids, and that basically stems from what JoJo always used to tell me about it, because, you know, so many people were approaching me to get better quicker. And they always had this idea, you know, that I would just say, okay, you know, let's go with it. But he's like, no. He said, all that work you've done for rehab and recovery, and basically I would be sitting back and, you know, taking everything that he taught me and throwing it in the garbage, like he said, by using drugs, because it's so negative on the body. And, you know, especially if everybody comes to the seminars that we are planning in the future, you will see that it's just not ever worth the option. So, you know, it shouldn't even be a consideration. And JoJo told me that, you know, I'll never forget it when he's talking about that you don't have a U-Haul coming back from a cemetery. And the other thing he said was that you don't – he said you should be going to your grave like a broken down, beat up vehicle that's basically used up and no value left in it, and that's basically why you're leaving this earth, is because you've used your body to its fullest potential. So, JoJo, we'll let you finish out the show and basically piggyback what I just said so everybody can truly understand what their lives really mean to everybody, including themselves.
All right, thanks, Kaylee and Des. Well, as a last parting thought, it is Holy Week, and in the great scheme of the existence, we are all a mathematical anomaly. That means that statistically, we shouldn't be existing. Can you imagine anything forming out of an explosion? It's impossible.
Exactly.
But we are real. So that means we're special. Each and every person listening tonight, and those even not listening, they're special. You have your own dreams, and remember, the human spirit can do so many great things, and you know that in history, the human spirit did that. The element was passion and belief, and by the way, you have that spirit. So I just wanted to tell you guys thank you, and make sure you take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have it. Respect it. Take care of it. And glorify the good Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. I really can't think of anything more to say to such a perfect close. So I will simply say thank you. You have definitely blessed us again with your wisdom that has been imparted to you, JoJo. And
thank you,
on behalf of myself, JoJo, Dr. Sason, Kaylin, and the boys from P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
All right, temple builders, go for it. Goodbye now, and God bless.